Hello, everyone. Welcome to the fourth episode of the Asia VC Cast, hosted by yours truly, Daniel Song at DSongVC on Twitter. I've decided to launch this new podcast to explore the minds of the venture capitalists and founders in Asia. Each week, I'll sit down together with a special guest to present new perspective and insights to startup investing and fundraising across different countries in Asia. This week's special guest is Jeff Oh from Airy Mobile. Airy Mobile is a modular commercial real estate developer in Manila with the pop-up stores ranging from 15 to 650 square meters. They set up shops and retail outlets made from shipping containers that are flexible but also visually attractive by using glass display windows and durable paint. Originally from New York City, Jeff moved to Manila to start this new venture, and he will share it with us today about the fast-growing development in Manila and his experience starting a company there from ground up. So please join me in welcoming Jeff Oh from Airy Mobile. Hey, Jeffrey. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
How's it going, man?
Tired, but yeah, dude, it's a pleasure, man. Thanks for having me on. Really excited to get to chat with you.
Great. Excited to have you on as well. So let's get started with, you know, telling our audience a little bit about yourself and how you moved to Manila and came to found your startup.
Well, my name is Jeff. Let's see, how do I describe my life? Korean American, born and raised in Brooklyn. I studied politics in DC, kind of tumbled around here and there, ended up in the startup scene in New York. Took me to Asia for a little bit, the Valley for a little bit, and now I'm here in Metro Manila working on a new type of real estate development concept.
Right. And maybe could you tell us more about your project, Airy Mobile?
So Airy Mobile, we are a design and architecture firm that we are also acting as a real estate developer here in the Philippines. And what we focus on is prefab, modular, and eco-friendly architecture. So our very first project that we're working on is a 1 hectare property here in, it's an area called Katipunan in Metro Manila. It's the university town of Metro Manila. And we are building a commercial boutique lifestyle mall. And it's all going to be built out of refurbished shipping containers. It's going to be what we like to call like a lifestyle mall. So food, a retail, a lot of bars, you know, for the college kids. and it's going to be also like an event space for the area. So it's a lot of fun.
Gotcha. And then, you know, the business model is that it's very, I think, unique to what's happening in Manila. Is there a reason why you're, you know, making these mobile spaces instead of, you know, building an actual mall or event space?
Okay. Yeah. So people here especially always ask, hey, you're Korean, but you're born and raised in New York. Why are you doing real estate development and the type of real estate development you are doing in Metro Manila? I always get that question, right? Because most of the expats that are here, you see them out there either in the IT field, they're working in the BPO industry, things like that. And it's very rare, I guess, for guys like me to be in this vertical doing the things I'm doing. But I think it's me and my partners, we stumbled across in Metro Manila. And it's also, you can be seen, actually, this scenario, you could see it in Southeast Asia quite often, is where you have a lot of rapid real estate development and growth in the major metropolitan cities, and rapid growth based around just a couple of developers, right? For example, in Metro Manila, I would say the bulk of the development is all centered around 5 or 6 major players. You can see this in Kuala Lumpur. You see this in Bangkok. You see it in Southeast Asian countries that are growing really quickly. And what this means is there is this uneven growth in development. So you'll see a massive luxury condo being built or completed, and right next to it will be an open lot or just abandoned area. And right next to it will be a million dollar, a village of million dollar houses, right? So it's this very uneven and rapid growth. And then what we noticed was that in Southeast Asia, especially Metro Manila, you have these very, very expensive plots of land that are being left empty and being left empty for, well, in the industry, what we like to kind of deem more of like a mid-term period of time. So anywhere from 5 to 10 years. So it's a period of time where the traditional buildings and developers, you won't really get a proper ROI, but it's long enough where developers like me, who have more of a prefab modular concept, can come leverage the fact that no one else can use this land, but it is in super prime locations, set up something that, you know, the neighborhood really enjoy, brings a lot of value, but also can generate a lot of rental income, rental revenue. At the end, take advantage of that. So we go, we set up our structures, utilize the property for 5 to 10 years. And when that 5 to 10 year period is over, we can lift up the structures and move it to another area. So it's a business model that really fits well to Metro Manila and Southeast Asia in general.
Right. And, you know, you mentioned about just the growth and development of Manila. You know, we hear a lot right now in Indonesia and Vietnam, there's been a lot of, you know, growth in, you know, just the whole ecosystem, also in tech and startups. How is it there in Manila? Can you just tell the listeners, you know, what's going on? Do you really feel that growth happening when you just live there and see what's going on around you?
Yeah, so I think Metro Manila, to be quite honest, and I think, to preface it, I think I have more, I have a pretty strong authority to say something like this just because I have no ties to the country. The only reason I'm here is purely for the growth, right? So I think I could say this very unbiased, where I think Metro Manila is really the hidden gem in terms of growth and development here in Southeast Asia. It's, I think, if you read the reports, I think it's growing at around 6 to 7% year on year. Philippines in general, and Philippines is kind of like Seoul. I mean, Philippines is kind of like, South Korea or, you know, maybe kind of like even like Eastern China, where the majority of the growth is centered around one or two major cities. And Manila is the biggest city by far in Philippines. So if the country is growing at 7%, that means Manila is growing at 10, 15%, even more.
Wow.
And then if you really, if you distill that down and in the right neighborhoods, you're looking at 20, 25, 30% growth in certain neighborhoods here in Metro Manila. So it's really, really exciting in terms of growth. And then also, I think if you look at it from an investor point of view, or I guess especially a foreign investor point of view, you have probably the youngest population in Asia, right? I think the largest age group is from 18 to, you know, the 18 to 35 demographic. Everyone speaks very good English and very fairly well-educated young population. I think it's really poised for a lot of growth. I think Philippines gets a lot of bad rep. I think the political scene here is a little colorful. And then you see stuff like that. But if you look at the numbers, if you see the potential, the growth, it's a really exciting place to be.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, since you've lived and grew up in New York, and what were some of the, you know, biggest surprises when you first moved to Manila? You know, how were you able to adapt to the new environment?
So me and you both, we're immigrants, right? So right. I think it's in our DNA to learn how to adapt to other situations. But I think I was really pleasantly surprised when moving to Manila, how accommodating the country can be, especially to Westerners, because it's a very Western country. And I'm not the first person to say this, and you hear it all the time that, you know, Filipinos are probably one of the friendliest people, ever. And it's really true. Right. I guess it's like the nicest stereotype you could have about someone, but everyone's super friendly, super accommodating. So it's really easy to adapt to this country, really get to make good friends, build a community around you. Because I think one of the most overlooked things in, I guess, you know, the entrepreneurial game is having that support system, right? Of friends, family, network. And I think that's what really gives you that longevity to be in the game. You know, I mean, me and you were pretty young guys, but I mean, at least me, I've been in the game, what, 6 years now, something like that, 6-7 years. And it's really, it's, you know, I think it, being able to stick it through and, you know, stick with it when it's hard, it's really about the people around you and the kind of the vibe of the environment. And, you know, when you're in a country, in a city where, you know, it's filled with very friendly people, accommodating people, that, you know, are very open to new ideas, new people, new concepts. I think it's a good combination. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of shitty things to deal with as well, you know, but I think the upside is a lot bigger than the downside.
Right. And do you see a lot of, you know, foreigners like yourself, you know, going into Philippines, trying to do something on their own as well? Or do you think it's still mostly just the locals doing their more traditional business way?
What I think, what you see a lot here in terms of at least foreigners, expats, is you see a lot of accidental entrepreneurs in Metro Manila.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean by accidental entrepreneurs is a lot of people come here without the intention of, you know, setting up businesses or doing having an entrepreneurial background, right? It's usually a lot of times you see people from other countries being sent here to be like a regional manager for a larger BPO company, or, you know, a lot of people are, you know, came here for extended vacations because of the, you know, the natural beauty of the islands and stuff. So for whatever reason, they'll come here. And they'll sense what I sensed, which is kind of that rapid growth, right? You see people that are, you see a consumer base that's willing to spend a lot, that are hungry for new concepts, right? And I think Philippines has one of the highest penetrations of Facebook in Southeast Asia, I think, something like that. So people are very keen for trends that they see online. So a lot of foreigners, they see this, they have this overseas experience, and then they just end up becoming these first-time business owners, right? And when I talk to a lot of, so in my line of work, it's mainly talking to a lot of business owners that want to set up shop in my development. So I talk to a lot of restaurant owners, you know, bar owners, retailers, and there's a very common thread of, hey, I just came here, I was just on vacation, or I just came here as a, you know, to do like a 1-2 year contract on a job. And I really fell in love with the country. I saw all the opportunities and I tried something and it really stuck. So you see a lot of accidental entrepreneurs. And I think that's what makes me really excited as well, is because the opportunities are so big, people are willing to just stumble into them rather than, I think, if you go to other areas, even Kuala Lumpur, I think, like Vietnam, like you see these guys actively, aggressively coming in to get market share in certain concepts and verticals. It's not like that here. It's more of it's very organic in its growth.
Gotcha. And in terms of, you know, the ecosystem support for startups, you know, you see the developed countries more like Seoul, Korea, you know, Japan, you see a lot of accelerators, you know, a lot of government funding involvement within the startup community and a lot of investors. How is the ecosystem in Manila? Do you think it's still very early stage, or do you see, you know, different types of support built along with the growth of Manila?
Well, you know, because my background originally is in, I guess, the traditional startup scene. When I first came here, I did the rounds, right? I went to all the talks, the meetups, the traditional thing, what you do. So I've met all the majority of the, you know, VC firms, things like that. And, you know, they're great people. I think there's a lot of well-meaning people to be quite honest. But I think that the startup, I guess, seeing the support system isn't as strong as you'd see elsewhere, or even in this kind of growth. Not for any other reason than the fact that traditional industry is growing so rapidly, or even regular traditional verticals are in its infancy so much that there is not much of a need for quote unquote like your disruptive startup concepts, right? You know, people are still, for example, real estate development, what I'm in, it's a very old school, non-startup-y vertical, but then new players like myself can jump in because there's so much growth and still so much untapped market share, right?
Right.
So because traditional industries are doing so well And it is, the opportunities are so great in more traditional and non, I guess, radical conceptual kind of stuff. The startup scene, I think, in my opinion, is why it isn't as rapidly growing as you would see, let's say, in, you know, Korea or even China, stuff like that.
Right. And I know, you know, when you were fundraising for Airy Mobile, you decided to kind of stay away from the, you know, taking the money from VCs, and you did it more, I would say, what's the best, I guess, more of a traditional way of getting investments from, you know, your network, personal network. How was that experience like doing the fundraising?
Yeah. So to be honest, like raising money in the Philippines, I think, because I raised locally, right? And so I came here about a year and a half ago. I didn't know anybody, didn't really have a network. So it was all just the network I created and cultivated within the first, I guess, 8 months is when I started really raising money. So within the first 8 months. And, you know, on paper, it would make more sense for a guy like me with a very, you know, not a strong network, not a strong track record in this country to go through something like a VC firm, right? But I ended up going a more, you know, traditional, you know, network, you know, individual kind of route. And I think the reason why is that A, it's, growth is so rapid. B, it's Southeast Asia, I think, in general. There's a lot more liquid capital among, the small investor groups, individuals than you would see in the West, or in, let's say, Korea, Japan, or China.
Right.
So, and because of that, and also because there's lack of, as compared to, I'd say, other more developed areas, a little bit of lack of new ideas and concepts, the willingness to invest in newer concepts, especially if it has proper technical expertise backing it, is higher. So I think VCs, local VCs would have to compete with that. And as you know, VCs usually have a lot more support that they can give, but a lot more strings that are attached to it, right? So it's kind of that thing.
Gotcha. And I think, you know, a lot of listeners, they're also interested to know about, you know, what were the challenges, you know, when you started your company in Manila? And can you give any advice or insights to maybe entrepreneurs thinking about starting a company there in Manila?
Okay. Yeah. So I'll start with the pros, I guess, so that people don't get discouraged. I mean, the pros is it's growing like crazy. The economy is growing like crazy. You have very little barrier of language, especially if you speak English. Other than that, the consumer market is quite forgiving, right? It's very, very forgiving, and they're willing to try new things, right? You know, in the States or in Korea or Japan, like if you mess up, like you know, it's a wash, right? Oftentimes.
Right.
Here people are willing to kind of ride it out with you a little bit, consumers. So it's a little bit easier like that. Those are, you know, some of the many advantages. So starting a business in Manila, obviously I don't have much experience. It's just been a year and some change, but what I would say from a foreigner expat point of view, some of the challenges could be learning to adapt to the work culture of the Philippines. A lot of it is work and business culture. A lot of it's based around relationships. A lot of it's based around who you know, what is your track record with them? You know, what have you done in the past? So as someone doing the startup game or someone that's new to the game or new to the scene here, there's a lot of hurdles to overcome. You know, I think it makes sense why it's like that here, especially, you know, credit scores, credit checks are a relatively new thing. Legal remedies to disputes or things like that aren't the most, people don't resort to it as often as we do in the States or stuff like that. So needing that assurance, that trust between, two parties, that goes beyond just paperwork, right? That's something that I understand. So it's something that building relationships, maintaining relationships, both on a professional but personal level. I think that's something that I've learned, had to learn to do here, and it's very different. You know, like I think at least once in a meeting, someone will ask me, "Hey, are you married? Like, oh, where's your children? Oh no, are you dating? Hey, why don't you date my niece?" Right?
Right.
You know.
So in the start of the meeting, you know, you kind of have to, instead of getting to the business talk right away, it's more like, you know, getting to know that person, asking more of a personal question just to build that repertoire, right?
Yeah, that's a lot more important here, which totally makes sense given the context of the region and the way business is done here. You know, we're more used to, okay, what value can you bring? What is this? What is that? What are the metrics can you hit? Which are also very important. Those are fundamentals. But just as important is, do I like you? Do we trust each other? Do we have this chemistry to do business? And I think being very sensitive to that and focusing on that has been something that's helped me a lot. You know, when I first got here, I would just, the traditional startup founder kind of thing, just bust through doors and throw numbers and projections at people. And I would just kind of be dumbfounded, wondering why things aren't panning out. Even though I thought I had such a compelling, you know, business story and concept. And I just realized, well, it's really about building relationships here, building trust here, building rapport, right? I mean, we still have it anywhere you go in the world, but I think it's specifically very important in the Philippines. So I wouldn't say it's a con, but it's a cultural context that really needs to be thoroughly addressed, I think, if you're a first time or a foreign business person or a startup guy here in Manila.
Gotcha. Great. So yeah, I think that leads to our last question. This is a question I always ask. So what to expect from you and Airy Mobile this year?
Well, for Airy Mobile, what we want to do is, the boring, more corporate pitch is we want to be a land solution for large scale landowners and developers, especially in the Southeast Asia region. That's kind of our goal. Developers here develop not in buildings or even blocks. They develop in hectares at a time. The most newest and shiniest neighborhood here in Metro Manila is a place called BGC, Bonifacio Global City. And it was a city that was built literally over a span of 10 years. It's called the Fort. It's another name for it. It was because it was literally an army base like about 10 years ago. And now it's a glistening city full of skyscrapers and stuff. So that's how people develop here and regionally. And because of that, there's always going to be these open spaces, underutilized prime locations. And we want to be that solution to these larger players so that they can maximize the value of their property, maximize revenue off of these locations. And then also, you know, that we can create more brand friendly and retail friendly locations for people to go to. So that's the complicated corporate, answer to what you're saying. But the simpler answer is, you see it happening already in the States, Korea and stuff, is that malls are dying. Shopping malls are dying. People don't want these huge malls. Malls are kind of going the way of McDonald's, where, you know, people still go to McDonald's here and there, but they're looking for newer, fresher things, right? But as brick and mortars, you know, the financial burden is so high. Once you build a mall, you're stuck with filling it with big brands like Uniqlo, H&M. That's all you can go with, right? Or filling it with McDonald's and things like that. By us creating these kind of financially feasible boutique mall spaces through our prefab and modular technology, what we can do, and also leveraging these prime empty lots in major CBD areas in Manila and hopefully in the Southeast Asia region, we can leverage both those things to create spaces that really exciting and up-and-coming brands can start exploring a more traditional brick and mortar role. I think what happens is there are a lot of cool brands, cool e-commerce brands, small mom and pop brands that want to make the jump to brick and mortar, but then it's so much of a financial risk, right? Or they don't have the experience, so they get overburdened and they burn out trying to go into a traditional mall or brick and mortar space. And we kind of want to be that bridge, right? Create really interesting places with really interesting brands and concepts that the consumers do want to see, but also make it a financially feasible thing, both for us as a developer, both for the brands that are coming in, and also the landowners or the major developers that we are partnering with. So we just want to create these really exciting spaces.
Right. Thank you so much for taking the time today. I think a lot of our listeners learn about not only about Manila, but also what you're doing and how exciting the project is. And we'll definitely keep a close eye on what's happening this year. Thank you so much, Jeff, for coming on.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, man. So it was good to catch up. Harvard, 2000?
Summer school. I think it was like 2005. I think right before our senior year.
Oh my goodness, man. It's good to catch up, man. It's good to catch up.
For sure, man.
Thanks for having me, bro. Appreciate it.